Our reading for today is from Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 1 through 23. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. "I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, that I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial, because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." For our meditation on God's Word today, we welcome Pastor Gary Dahnke, Grace Lutheran Church, Atlanta, Georgia.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before and after, TV commercials and magazine advertisements often promote their products with before and after pictures. It may be the latest diet fad, an exercise program or device, or a miracle hair-growing substance for men. Almost anything at all could be the subject of such ads. But the message is invariably the same. Before using the advertised product, the person is not very healthy, not attractive, and not particularly happy. But after making use of this wonderful product, life is so much better. The person is healthy, attractive, happier, and completely satisfied with life. At least that's the promise of the ads. Reality may be somewhat different, before and after. It's sort of that way in this 26th chapter of Acts, where Paul speaks to King Agrippa and describes the person he was before his coming to faith in Christ, and then describes in brief his conversion and finally gives us a glimpse of how that conversion changed him, before and after. Paul testifies that before he came to faith in Christ, he was Saul, a Pharisee. He persecuted Christians in Jerusalem and elsewhere, putting many of them in prison and seeing to the execution of many Christians as well. That's who Saul was before he came to faith in Christ. And then comes that amazing encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road, a transforming experience for Saul. And we want to recognize that this is God in action, not Saul. It was God who brought about that amazing bright light. It was God who caused Saul to fall to the ground and be struck blind. And of course, it was God the Son, Jesus Christ, whose voice Saul heard saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The point is that God was at work on that road because of his great love for Saul the Pharisee, working mightily to bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. And so after his conversion, it is now Paul who testifies that instead of persecuting Christians, he calls people to repentance, telling them of Christ's suffering and death, his resurrection from the dead, and his coming into this world for the salvation of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. So what's the before and after for you and me? The Apostle Paul provides the answer to that question in his epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2 when he says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins." And then a little bit further along, and he says, "And you were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That's you and me before our encounter with Christ. I expect that very few, if any of us, have had a Damascus Road experience like that of Saul. But God did the same for you and me as he did for Saul, bringing us to faith in Christ as our Savior. Whether that occurred in our baptism as infants or later on in life as we heard the gospel through which the Holy Spirit worked to bring us to faith in Christ, it was still God who was doing it, not you and me. In Ephesians 2, further along in that chapter, we read, "God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ." And so before, we were dead spiritually, and after, we are now alive in Christ. Before and after. And I suppose the question remaining would be what that after is going to look like for you and me. As we have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus and brought to faith in him through the working of the Holy Spirit, we are now privileged to live each day to his glory. And God promises that he will give us opportunity to serve him in our witnessing to other people, in our acts of service to others, and to God himself. That is the after that God calls us to. May he so lead us and empower us to live for him, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We thank Pastor Gary Dehnke for today's meditation on God's Word.